There comes a point in life when you realize that no one is really walking beside you, not in the moments that truly matter. You can be surrounded by people, laughter, and movement, and still feel like you're carrying something no one else can see. And that's when it hits you. This path, the one that leads to strength, peace, and understanding, is meant to be walked alone. It's not a punishment. It's not loneliness. It's an invitation to meet the version of yourself that has been waiting quietly underneath all the noise. Because as long as you keep filling your silence with others' voices, you'll never hear your own. Most people are terrified of being alone. They think silence means emptiness, that solitude is a void to escape from. But the Stoics knew better. They saw solitude as a temple, a place to train the mind, to return to order, to confront the truth of who you are without filters, without applause. And that's where we begin. 1. Silence as the starting point. If you can't sit alone with your thoughts, you'll never master them. The modern world teaches us to run from silence, to fill it with sound, screens, or conversation. Anything to avoid that quiet mirror that shows us what's really going on inside. But silence is not the enemy. It's the beginning of clarity. Seneca once wrote, "No man was ever wise by chance. Wisdom requires stillness, the kind of stillness that allows you to see the patterns of your mind without reacting to them. When you stop talking, when you stop explaining, when you stop seeking validation, the truth starts to rise like dust settling after a storm. In silence, you begin to hear the small voice that the noise has been drowning out, the one that tells you what's real, what's right, what's next. That's why solitude is not weakness, it's strength in disguise. Think about it. How many times have you avoided silence because it made you uncomfortable? Because in that quiet space, your insecurities echo louder. But maybe that's the point. Maybe silence isn't supposed to feel safe at first. Maybe it's supposed to confront you. Every great mind, from Marcus Aurelius meditating at dawn to Epictetus teaching that our thoughts create our world, understood that silence is not the absence of life. It's the presence of awareness. The battlefield is not out there. It's in here. In the noise of your mind, in the impulses you can't control. When you learn to be silent, you learn to master yourself. You learn to stop reacting to everything around you. You begin to act from stillness, not from chaos. So before you try to win, before you try to be understood, before you try to be seen, learn to be quiet. Sit with your thoughts. Let them scream. Let them settle. Let them transform. Because when the noise fades, what's left is you, raw, real, and unshakable. And maybe that's where your true power begins, not in the crowd, not in the noise, but in the sound of your own silence. 2. No one is coming to save you. There's a moment in every person's life when reality stops whispering and starts shouting, and the message is always the same. No one is coming to save you. It doesn't matter how much you're loved, how many friends you have, or how many people say they care. When life decides to test you, it doesn't send an army to your rescue. It just looks at you, quietly, waiting to see what you'll do next. At first, that truth hurts. It feels unfair, almost cruel. You spend so many years believing in safety nets, parents, friends, partners, mentors, systems, someone who will step in when things fall apart. But life, in its own way, keeps removing those nets one by one, until you realize that the ground beneath you has always been the only real support you've had. Epictetus once said, "No man is free who is not master of himself." The Stoics didn't say this to make you feel isolated. They said it to give you power. Because the moment you stop expecting someone to fix you, to motivate you, or to rescue you, that's the moment you start to truly live. Think about it. How often do we wait for something or someone to change before we take action? We say things like, once I get that job, once I meet the right person, once someone finally understands me. But deep down, we know. We're just postponing our own growth. We keep outsourcing our strength. We keep waiting for a hero when the hero is already inside, untrained and ignored. When you finally face that truth that no one is coming, you begin to see what's been holding you back, the belief that you're not enough on your own. But look closely. The people you admire, the ones who seem unbreakable, weren't born that way. They were broken once too. They just stopped waiting for help. They took their pain and turned it into a teacher. There's a strange peace that comes when you stop expecting rescue. It's not bitterness, it's clarity. You stop taking things personally. You stop blaming others. You start asking better questions. What can I do right now with what I have? You start acting instead of waiting, and suddenly you begin to feel something you've been chasing for years. Control. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "You have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this, and you will find strength." That's the essence of this lesson. You can't control who shows up for you, but you can control how you show up for yourself. You can choose discipline over despair, effort over excuses, responsibility over resentment. It's easy to want support. It's human, but depending on it, that's the trap. Because the moment you depend on others to pull you out of darkness, you give away your ability to walk toward the light on your own. Sometimes the universe removes people, comfort and certainty, not to punish you, but to remind you of your own strength. Solitude forces you to meet yourself without masks, and that meeting, as uncomfortable as it may be, is where your transformation begins. You might fall, stumble, and feel lost, but that's how you learn to rise. Not because someone told you how, but because you refuse to stay down. So stop waiting. No savior is coming. No perfect moment will appear. The time to move, to build, to grow is now. It has always been now. And maybe that's the quiet beauty of this realization. Once you stop expecting someone to save you, you start becoming the person who never needed saving in the first place. 3. Falling teaches more than advice. No one likes to fall. It hurts the body, it bruises the ego, and it leaves you face to face with the truth you've been avoiding, that you're not as strong, as ready, or as in control as you thought you were. But here's the strange thing about falling. It teaches you what comfort never will. It humbles you, sharpens you, and strips away every illusion you had about yourself. People can give you advice all day long. They can warn you, guide you, even beg you not to make the same mistakes they did. But until you fall, until you feel that sting of reality firsthand, none of it sinks in. Words are theory. Pain is proof. There's a depth of understanding that only failure can carve. When everything collapses and the people who used to clap for you grow silent, when plans crumble and pride shatters, that's when you finally learn what it means to rely on yourself. And more importantly, that's when you discover how much of your strength was sleeping all along. Seneca once wrote, "Difficulties strengthen the mind as labor does the body." Think about that. We admire people who are wise, composed, and grounded, but we forget that the reason they're that way is because they've fallen many times. Each fall forced them to shed illusions and grow roots deeper than fear. Falling isn't failure, it's feedback. It's life's way of showing you where your weakness still hides. It's a mirror that doesn't lie. You can't fake strength when you're on the ground. You either get up or you stay there. And that moment, the one where you decide to rise again, that's where your character is built. We live in a world that glorifies success stories, not recovery stories, but it's in recovery that you meet your real self. Falling takes away your titles, your image, your comfort zone, and leaves you with just one question. Who are you when nothing goes your way? And maybe that's what the Stoics wanted us to understand, that falling is not the opposite of progress, it's part of it. Marcus Aurelius wrote in Meditations, "The impediment to action advances action." What stands in the way becomes the way. Every obstacle is not blocking your path, it is your path. The moment you stop running from pain and start learning from it, the world begins to change shape. There's something sacred about the silence that follows a fall. When you're lying there, ashamed, disappointed, maybe even hopeless, a small voice appears inside you. It's quiet but firm. It says, "Get up. Try again." That voice is your soul, remembering what you're made of. And every time you rise, that voice grows stronger. Until one day, you realize that falling no longer scares you, because you've built a kind of strength that no success could ever give you, the kind that comes from surviving yourself. So the next time life knocks you down, don't just rush to escape the pain. Stay there for a moment, feel it, listen to what it's teaching you, because pain is a teacher that doesn't flatter, but it never lies. Every bruise tells a story, every fall plants a seed. And one day, when you look back, you'll realize that every time you hit the ground, you weren't breaking, you were being rebuilt. 4. Do not depend on others to move. It's easy to move when someone is watching, when people cheer for you, when you feel supported, when the world seems to care. But real strength begins in the moments when no one notices, when no one texts to ask how you're doing, when no one claps, when no one sees your effort but you keep going anyway. That's when you start to understand what self-reliance truly means. Most people wait. They wait for motivation, for permission, for company. They tell themselves they'll begin once the timing is right, once the support shows up, once someone believes in them. But life doesn't wait. The clock keeps moving whether you do or not. The Stoics understood this deeply. They believed that your progress depends not on the conditions around you, but on your ability to act despite them. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "Waste no more time arguing about what a good man should be. Be one, that's the Stoic way, direct, uncomfortable, and liberating. Stop waiting for someone to push you, guide you, or reassure you. Move. Because if you rely on others to ignite your fire, you'll forever live in the shadows of their expectations. When you depend on others to move, you surrender your own rhythm. You start living on borrowed momentum, and the moment they slow down, you stop too. But when your movement comes from within, no one can take it from you. The pace might be slower, the path lonelier, but it's yours." Epictetus taught that the only thing truly ours is our will, our capacity to choose. You can't control who helps you, who leaves, or who believes in you, but you can always control whether you take the next step. And that step, taken in silence, without applause, is worth more than 1,000 inspired speeches. The truth is, people will disappoint you. Not because they're cruel, but because they're human. Everyone is fighting their own invisible battle. You might reach out for encouragement and find emptiness instead. You might expect loyalty and meet indifference, but that's okay. It's part of growing up, part of learning that no one can walk your path for you. When you understand this, something changes inside you. You stop resenting people for not being there. You stop blaming others for your stagnation. You begin to realize that waiting for external validation is just another form of fear. Fear of facing your own strength. Think of the sun. It rises every morning without applause. It doesn't ask for permission to shine. It just does what it's meant to do. That's how you must learn to move, quietly, consistently, independently. And yes, there will be moments when it feels heavy, when your own mind whispers, "What's the point?" But those moments are your test. They are the moments that separate the dreamers from the doers. Because true discipline is doing the work when no one is watching, when no one will ever know, when the only reward is knowing that you didn't give up on yourself. Remember, depending on others to move is a subtle way of saying, "I'm not enough yet." But you are. You've always been. You just forgot, because the world keeps telling you that progress is a group project. It's not. It's personal. It's sacred. It's between you and the person you're becoming. So move, even when no one believes in you, especially then, because every step you take alone becomes a declaration that your life belongs to you and no one else can live it for you. And maybe that's the greatest freedom of all, realizing that the people who walk beside you can inspire you, but the one who must keep moving is you. 5. Solitude is training, not punishment. Most people fear being alone. They see solitude as exile, as proof that something is wrong with them, that they've been left behind or forgotten. But solitude is not a sentence. It's a sacred space, a place where your mind stops performing and starts revealing, where your spirit begins to stretch and strengthen in ways it never could with noise around. The world tells you to stay busy, to stay connected, to fill every silence with chatter and every hour with company. But solitude, real solitude, is where transformation happens. It's the quiet gym of the soul. The Stoics knew this. They withdrew often, not to escape life, but to prepare for it. Marcus Aurelius, the emperor of Rome, found time every day to write in silence, to confront his thoughts and discipline his emotions. Because solitude is not withdrawal from the world, it's training for it. When you're alone, you begin to notice things you usually miss. The way your mind tries to create noise to avoid discomfort. The way you chase distractions instead of peace. At first, solitude feels like standing in front of a mirror for too long. You see everything, the flaws, the fears, the patterns. But if you stay long enough, something shifts. You start to see beneath them. You realize that the noise you thought was the world was mostly you. Epictetus taught that no man is free who is not master of himself. Solitude is how you gain that mastery. When no one is around to validate you, to agree or disagree, to soothe or provoke, you are forced to face the raw version of yourself. You can't hide behind performance or charm. You meet your true mind, the impatient part, the insecure part, the dreaming part. And in that meeting, growth begins. It's uncomfortable, yes. Growth always is. But solitude teaches you endurance, emotional endurance. It trains you to hold space for your own emotions without needing anyone to fix them. It builds internal strength the same way lifting weights builds muscle. You learn to stay calm without comfort, to stay steady without support, to stay focused without distraction. When you understand solitude, you stop fearing loneliness. You realize that loneliness is not the absence of people, it's the absence of connection to yourself. Solitude, on the other hand, is intimacy with your own soul. It's where you refill your strength and reset your direction. Think of solitude as a forge. The fire burns hot, but it shapes you. You enter as raw metal, full of noise, insecurity, and need, and emerge as something solid, clear, and grounded. The heat doesn't destroy you, it refines you. That's why so many people avoid it, because refinement demands facing the fire. There will be days when solitude feels heavy, when you miss voices, warmth, or simple presence. But those days are tests, not signs that you're doing it wrong, but proof that you're still learning how to be whole without dependence. Every hour spent in true solitude adds a layer of self-trust that no crowd can give you. Seneca said, "Associate with people who are likely to improve you, and sometimes that person is yourself." Sit with your thoughts as if you were sitting with an old friend. Listen to what they're trying to tell you. Let solitude become your teacher, not your punishment. Because once you master being alone, no one can manipulate your peace again. You stop clinging, chasing, or begging for attention. You stop fearing abandonment because you've learned to be your own anchor. Solitude doesn't take you away from the world. It sends you back into it stronger, calmer, and clearer than before. It teaches you that your worth was never in the noise, the crowd, or the applause. It was always in your ability to stand still in silence and still feel complete. So, don't resist solitude. Step into it. Train in it. Let it shape you quietly, because the ones who can stand alone are the ones who can truly stand for something. 6. No one understands your battle like you do. There are battles you can't explain, the kind that live beneath the surface, invisible, quiet, and constant. You wake up every morning carrying them, smile when you have to, pretend when you must. And yet inside, there's a storm no one else seems to notice. You try to talk about it, maybe even hint at it, but people rarely understand. They see the surface, not the struggle. They hear the words, not the weight behind them. And after a while, you stop trying to make them see. That's when the truth settles in. No one understands your battle like you do. And maybe they're not supposed to. We all have inner wars, doubts that whisper in the night, memories that haunt, fears that never fully disappear. The Stoics understood this better than anyone. Marcus Aurelius fought his wars inside his own mind every single day. He ruled an empire, yet his greatest victories were invisible, battles against anger, fear, and fatigue that no historian could ever write about. It's easy to assume that others have it easier, that people who look calm have peace, that those who smile are happy. But the world hides its wounds well. Everyone you meet is carrying something, a silent battle between who they are and who they wish to be. And just because your pain looks different doesn't make it less real. There's a kind of loneliness that comes from fighting what no one else can see. But solitude in your battle isn't a curse. It's an initiation. It's life's way of teaching you to rely on your own understanding, your own intuition, your own resilience. Because when no one can fight for you, you begin to discover how much power has been waiting within you all along. Epictetus once said, "Circumstances don't make the man, they only reveal him to himself. Your struggles do the same, they reveal you, your patterns, your limits, your strength. Every internal war is a mirror showing you what still needs to be understood, healed, or accepted. Sometimes you'll look for empathy and find silence. You'll reach for comfort and find misunderstanding. It's painful, yes, but necessary. Because the world isn't built to fully understand you. It's built to challenge you into understanding yourself. The truth is, most people can't see your battle because they haven't fought their own. They speak from theory, not experience. They might give advice, but they can't walk your path. And that's okay. Their role isn't to save you. It's to remind you that you can survive without being fully understood. When you stop expecting everyone to get it, something magical happens. You stop needing their validation. You stop trying to translate your pain into something digestible. You begin to carry it differently, not as a burden, but as armor. You walk with quiet strength, knowing that while no one else may fully understand what you're going through, you do. And that's enough. Seneca wrote, "We suffer more often in imagination than in reality." When you internalize that, you start to realize that most of your pain isn't caused by the world, but by the stories you tell yourself about it. By the expectation that someone else should understand, fix, or carry what's yours to face. The battle becomes lighter when you stop asking others to see it. You don't need everyone to understand your fight. You just need to keep showing up for yourself inside it, to keep choosing courage over comfort, truth over denial, growth over self-pity. The people meant for you will see your strength in your silence, not your suffering in your words. So keep fighting, quietly, faithfully, not for attention, but for transformation. Because when no one understands your battle, you begin to understand yourself. And that's the kind of understanding that builds peace. The kind that no one can take away. And maybe that's the quiet reward of all this. The realization that even if no one sees your war, they'll see your light. 7. Recognition is a sweet poison. Recognition feels good, doesn't it? That brief moment when someone notices your effort, praises your work, or calls your name in a room that used to ignore you. It hits the brain like a drug, subtle, warm, addictive. And yet, like all drugs, the high fades, leaving behind the quiet hunger for more. The need to be seen again, to be validated again, to feel relevant again. That's when you realize the truth. Recognition is a sweet poison. The Stoics warned about this long before the world was flooded with followers, likes, and applause. They knew that the desire to be seen could enslave even the most disciplined mind. Epictetus said, "If you want to improve, be content to be thought foolish and stupid. Because the moment you start living for the eyes of others, you stop living for your own purpose." Recognition, when chased, becomes a silent trap. It whispers, "You're only valuable when they notice." And once you believe that, you lose control of your own worth. You begin adjusting your behavior to be approved, diluting your truth to be accepted. You start performing, not living. And every time someone praises you, it feeds the addiction. Every time they don't, it deepens the withdrawal. Think about it. How many times have you worked harder just to be seen? Not because it mattered to you, but because you wanted to prove something. Recognition can disguise itself as motivation, but its core is dependency. The Stoic path asks you to detach from this need. Not to reject appreciation, but to see it clearly for what it is, fleeting and unstable. Marcus Aurelius wrote in Meditations, "Fame is but smoke, and reputation is nothing but noise." The Emperor of Rome, a man worshipped by millions, still reminded himself that external praise meant nothing compared to inner integrity, because recognition feeds the ego, while silence feeds the soul. When you begin to rise in life, when you grow, create, or achieve, the world will notice, and that's fine. Gratitude for recognition is natural, but depending on it is dangerous, because the world's applause can change in an instant. The same people who cheer for you today can forget you tomorrow. The same voices that call you inspiring can turn silent when your truth no longer entertains them. The wise learn to treat recognition like dessert, sweet, enjoyable, but never the meal. They eat purpose for breakfast, discipline for lunch, and peace for dinner. Recognition, That's just the aftertaste. True freedom comes when you no longer crave being seen, when you can pour your soul into something meaningful without the need for anyone to witness it, when you find satisfaction in the doing, not the display. That's when you become untouchable. Seneca said, "He who is everywhere is nowhere." The same applies to attention. When your focus is scattered between others' opinions, you lose the depth of your own life. You can't build anything real while constantly wondering who's watching. And here's the paradox. When you stop chasing recognition, you begin to attract genuine respect. People sense authenticity. They're drawn to those who move quietly, who create not to impress, but to express. That's the kind of recognition that doesn't poison, the kind that finds you after you've stopped asking for it. So, build your life like a craftsman working in solitude, steady, focused, precise. Let your work speak in whispers that echo longer than any applause. Because recognition may feed your ego for a moment, but purpose feeds your soul forever. And maybe that's the test life gives us, to see if we can love what we do, even when no one's watching. To see if we can walk the long road of mastery without needing someone at the finish line to clap. In the end, the only recognition that matters is the one that happens in silence. The moment you look at yourself and realize you've finally earned your own respect. 8. Be your own source of strength. There comes a time when you realize that the people you lean on, no matter how kind, loyal, or loving, cannot carry your weight forever. They have their own storms, their own doubts, their own nights of quiet collapse. You start to see that depending too much on others for strength isn't love, it's surrender. Because sooner or later, life will put you in moments where there's no one to hold your hand, no one to reassure you, no one to say, "You've got this." And in that silence, one truth becomes clear. You have to be your own source of strength. It doesn't mean closing your heart or pretending you don't need anyone. It means learning to stand firm when everything else shakes. It means finding your center, that quiet place within you that doesn't crumble when the world does. The Stoics lived by this. They trained not for comfort, but for resilience. They believed that strength built from within cannot be taken away because it doesn't depend on anyone or anything outside of your control. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "Look well into yourself. There is a source of strength which will always spring up if you will always look." That's the wisdom most people overlook. Your strength isn't something you need to find elsewhere. It's something you need to awaken. Most people confuse strength with hardness. They think being strong means being unfeeling or detached. But real strength is softness under control. It's the ability to stay kind in chaos, calm in confusion, and grounded in grief. It's refusing to collapse under pressure, not because you're made of stone, but because you've learned how to rebuild yourself from dust. Being your own source of strength means you stop waiting for someone to remind you of your worth. You stop waiting for validation to act, for encouragement to move, for rescue to begin again. It's about developing the quiet confidence that says, "Even if I lose everything, I still have me." Seneca said, "No man is more unhappy than he who never faces adversity, for he is not permitted to prove himself. Adversity is the forge of inner strength." Every time life breaks something in you, it also hands you the materials to rebuild it stronger. But only if you stop asking, "Why me?" and start asking, "What now?" There will be days when you feel drained, when even the idea of being strong feels exhausting. That's natural. Strength isn't a constant roar. Sometimes it's a whisper that says, "Just one more day." Sometimes it's getting out of bed when your heart feels heavy. Sometimes it's forgiving yourself for not being at your best. You don't need to be unbreakable. You just need to be willing to start again. Being your own source of strength also means protecting your energy from those who drain it. The world is full of people who unconsciously project their chaos onto others, expecting you to absorb it. But the stronger you become internally, the more you'll realize you don't need to fix or carry anyone. You can care deeply without collapsing. You can love without losing yourself. Epictetus reminded his students that peace begins the moment you stop wishing for things to be different. When you stop fighting reality, your strength returns, because strength is not resistance, it's alignment with truth. It's saying, this is what it is. Now, how do I rise? When you learn to draw strength from within, you stop chasing what the world can't give you. You no longer crumble when people leave or disappoint you. You stop depending on motivation and start relying on discipline. You stop needing certainty and start trusting yourself. And perhaps the greatest power of all is this. When you become your own source of strength, you begin to radiate it. People feel it, not through words, but through your calm presence, your steadiness, your quiet refusal to break. So the next time you feel alone, remind yourself, you are not weak for needing rest, but you are stronger than you think for still standing. The well of strength within you is infinite. You just have to keep drawing from it. Because in the end, strength isn't what you show to the world. It's what you whisper to yourself when no one's there to listen. 9. Learn to close cycles alone. There's a kind of pain that doesn't scream. It fades quietly, like the echo of something you didn't want to end. A friendship, a love, a dream, a version of yourself. We like to think closure comes when the other person apologizes, explains, or understands. But life rarely gives us that gift. More often than not, closure is something you give yourself, and you learn to do it alone. The Stoics understood that nothing in this world truly belongs to us. Not people, not moments, not even the versions of ourselves we once loved. Everything is on loan. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself of this daily when he wrote, "Accept everything that happens as necessary and fitting." To close a cycle alone is to stop arguing with what has already happened. It's the act of releasing your grip on what no longer exists, so your hands are free to hold what's next. But it's hard, isn't it, to let go without answers, to move on without understanding. We want stories to end neatly, with clarity and peace. Yet the truth is, some chapters end mid-sentence. Some people leave without explanation. Some dreams fade before you're ready. Learning to close cycles alone means learning to live with that incompleteness, to make peace with what you may never understand. When you close a cycle by yourself, you stop waiting for someone else to set you free. You stop checking your phone for the message that will never come. Stop replaying the moment that could have gone differently. You start choosing silence over obsession, presence over nostalgia. You accept that closure isn't an event, it's a decision. Epictetus said, "It's not what happens to you, but how you react to it that matters." That's where closure lives, not in what others do, but in what you choose to do next. Every time you decide not to reopen an old wound, you heal a little more. Every time you stop chasing explanations, you reclaim your energy. You learn that peace doesn't arrive from outside, it's built inside, one quiet act of acceptance at a time. There's also a quiet strength in forgiving silently, not for them, but for yourself. Forgiveness isn't about saying, "It's okay," it's about saying, "It's over." It's the moment you realize that your story doesn't need their approval to continue. You don't have to carry their shadow into your future. You can let it end, gracefully, privately, completely. Seneca wrote, "Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end, but that end, to feel whole, must be honored." Closing a cycle alone is like a personal ceremony. No audience, no applause. Just you, the memory, and a final breath of gratitude for what it taught you. Even if it was painful, even if it broke you, it shaped you. And now, your task is to carry the lesson, not the weight. When you learn to end things by yourself, you begin to trust your own emotional strength. You realize you don't need someone to make things right before you move on. You become your own witness, your own healer, your own closure. That's emotional independence, the freedom to walk away without resentment and without needing a goodbye. And sometimes life rewards you for closing a cycle in silence. Because once you stop forcing doors to open, new ones appear. You stop chasing what's behind and start noticing what's ahead. You begin to feel lighter. Not because the past disappeared, but because you stopped carrying it everywhere you go. Learning to close cycles alone doesn't mean you don't care. It means you care enough about your peace to stop bleeding for what's already over. You stop asking, "Why did it end?" and start asking, "What did it teach me?" That shift alone is liberation. So take the lesson, thank the experience, and walk forward, quietly, with dignity, with softness. Because the art of ending gracefully is what prepares you to begin beautifully. And maybe that's what life has been waiting for. For you to stop clinging to what's gone, so it can finally hand you what's meant for you. 10. Your value depends on no one. The world will try to convince you that your worth is something you must earn through approval, performance, or belonging. From the time you're young, you're taught to measure yourself through someone else's lens. Good grades make you valuable. Compliments make you worthy. Love makes you complete. But slowly, that conditioning becomes a prison, one where your peace rises and falls with the opinions of others. And one day, you wake up realizing that the very people you gave the power to define you never really knew you. The Stoics warned us about this long ago. They understood that the moment you let your worth depend on others, you become their prisoner. Epictetus said, "If you want to improve, be content to be thought foolish and stupid." Why? Because freedom begins when you stop needing to be understood, liked, or approved. Your value isn't in how the world sees you. It's in how you see yourself when no one's looking. We often mistake external validation for self-worth. The praise feels good. It fills the void for a moment. But it's like drinking salt water. The more you consume, the thirstier you become. You start chasing recognition, attention, love, anything that confirms your value. Yet the more you chase it, the further it drifts. Because your worth isn't something to be proven, it's something to be remembered. Think about it. The sun doesn't beg the world to notice its light. The ocean doesn't apologize for its depth. A mountain doesn't shrink just because someone standing at its base can't see the peak. Their worth is intrinsic, silent, immovable, self-contained, and so is yours. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself constantly, "It never ceases to amaze me. We all love ourselves more than other people, but care more about their opinion than our own." This is one of the most human contradictions. We crave authenticity, yet keep adjusting ourselves to fit what others expect. We want peace, but trade it for approval. We say we value freedom, but surrender it to be liked. The truth is, people's opinions of you will always change. One day you'll be a hero, the next day a disappointment. You'll be misunderstood, misjudged, misquoted. That's the price of being seen, You can't control it, and you're not supposed to. The Stoics would tell you, the only opinion that truly matters is your own judgment of your actions, guided by reason and virtue. When you stop trying to earn your worth, something inside you shifts. You start acting from authenticity, not anxiety. You no longer need to please, impress, or prove. You start creating because it fulfills you, not because it will be applauded. You begin to speak truthfully, even when your voice shakes, because your peace matters more than approval. Seneca said, "He who seeks wisdom is a friend of God." And wisdom begins when you understand that self-worth is sacred. It doesn't come from comparison, from followers, or from praise. It comes from integrity, from living in alignment with what you know is right. Every time you choose truth over pretense, calm over reaction, self-respect over validation, you remind yourself of who you are. Your value is not in your success. It's not in your productivity. It's not in your appearance or your popularity. It's in your ability to stand in front of the mirror and say, "I am enough," even when no one says so. When you truly grasp that, the world loses its power over you. Insults stop cutting as deep. Praise stops inflating your ego. You start walking with quiet confidence, not arrogance, but self-assurance born from knowing your worth is not negotiable. And that's what terrifies the world the most. A person who no longer seeks approval. Because once you stop depending on others to tell you who you are, you become unshakable. You start living for meaning, not for noise. So remind yourself, your worth isn't up for debate. It existed before anyone noticed you and will remain long after they forget your name. The opinions of others are wind. Your value is the mountain that doesn't move. And maybe that's the greatest victory of all, to wake up one day and realize that everything you've been trying to find in someone else has been quietly alive inside you all along. 11. Your own path is longer, but cleaner. Walking your own path is rarely the fastest way forward, but it's almost always the right one. In a world obsessed with shortcuts, comparison, and validation, it takes courage to say, "I'll go my way, even if it takes longer." Because when you choose your path, the one that truly reflects who you are, you sign up for a slower, quieter, more solitary journey. But that path, though longer, is clean. It's free from the dirt of imitation and the weight of pretending. We live in an age where everyone wants to arrive quickly. Quick fame, quick money, quick transformation. People want results before they've earned wisdom. But the Stoics believed that what comes fast leaves fast. The only kind of progress that endures is the kind built patiently, step by step, on integrity. Seneca wrote, "It is not that we have a short time to live, but that we waste much of it. We waste it trying to walk paths that aren't ours, chasing what others call success, seeking approval in places that don't feed our soul. When you walk your own path, you walk slower because you're not following a map. You're making one. You don't have a crowd cheering you. You have silence testing you. You'll doubt yourself more often than you'd like. You'll question if it's worth it. You'll look at others racing ahead and wonder if you've fallen behind. But what you'll eventually realize is that while they're busy performing, you're transforming. The Stoics taught that virtue, not victory, is the measure of a good life, and your path, when it's truly yours, will demand virtue. It will force you to confront your impatience, your envy, your ego. You'll have to choose consistency over applause, truth over convenience, purpose over popularity. That's why it feels longer, because growth always takes more time than performance. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself, "The object of life is not to be on the side of the majority, but to escape finding oneself in the ranks of the insane. Following the crowd is faster. You just copy what's trending, Chase what's shining, do what's easy, but it's also hollow. The path of your own making, though steep and uncertain, leads somewhere real. It leads to peace. There's a purity in walking slowly through life with your eyes open, choosing every step deliberately. You're not rushing toward an image. You're becoming the kind of person who deserves the life you're building. And every setback, every detour, every lonely stretch of road, they all become sacred because you know they're shaping you into something unbreakable. Walking your own path also means accepting solitude as your companion. There will be fewer people beside you because authenticity doesn't attract the crowd. It attracts the few who are also walking their own way. But when you meet them, there's recognition. No pretense, no competition, just quiet respect between two travelers who understand that freedom is worth the distance. Epictetus said, "If you wish to improve, be content to be thought foolish and stupid. You'll be misunderstood, even mocked, for choosing integrity over imitation. But that's the price of living clean. And in time, you'll see that the peace of staying true to yourself is worth more than the applause you would have earned by betraying who you are. Your path may be longer, but it's free of shortcuts that cost your soul. It's built on effort that no one sees, on nights when no one cheers, on moments of quiet doubt that you turn into fuel. And when you finally look back, not to compare, but to reflect, you'll see that while others were chasing speed, you were building substance. So walk your path, even if it's slow, even if it's lonely. Don't envy the ones sprinting ahead. Many of them are just running in circles. Keep your pace, trust your rhythm, honor your truth, because the road that is yours will never betray you. It may test you, but it will never lie to you. And maybe that's what makes your journey beautiful. It takes longer, yes, but every step you take is yours. Every inch of progress is clean, and when you finally arrive, you'll know. It was never about reaching the destination. It was about becoming the person capable of walking that far without losing yourself. 12. When you learn to be without anyone, you choose better. Something changes the day you stop fearing being alone. The noise fades, the rush slows, and for the first time, you start hearing your own thoughts without interference. You see what truly matters to you, not what you were told to value, not what you chased to be accepted, but what feels right deep in your bones. That's the quiet revolution that happens when you learn to be without anyone. You stop choosing from need and start choosing from peace. Most people don't make bad choices because they're foolish. They make them because they're afraid. Afraid of silence, of absence, of being unseen. So they hold on to people who drain them, stay in situations that no longer fit, and keep saying yes when their heart is screaming no. They'd rather feel small in company than feel whole in solitude. But the Stoics, and every wise person who ever walked this earth, knew that wholeness must come before connection. If you don't learn to be full alone, you'll always seek others to fill the emptiness. Seneca once said, "He who is brave is free." And freedom begins when you no longer depend on anyone to feel complete. When you stop expecting others to fix your loneliness, you start discovering that solitude isn't emptiness. It's space. Space to think clearly, to feel deeply, to rebuild yourself without pressure. That's when your choices begin to transform. When you're comfortable with your own company, you stop mistaking attachment for love. You stop giving too many chances to people who show you they don't value you. You stop trying to prove your worth through relationships, friendships, or approval. You begin to choose differently, not out of desperation, but out of alignment. You choose peace over drama, growth over comfort, truth over illusion. You start to realize that love doesn't mean losing yourself, and loyalty doesn't mean accepting pain. You begin to see that anyone who asks you to shrink to keep them comfortable isn't your person. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "The happiness of your life depends upon the quality of your thoughts. When you are alone, you learn to purify those thoughts, to distinguish between what you actually feel and what the world made you believe. Solitude cleanses your mind from noise and prepares you for connection that doesn't cost your peace. Learning to be without anyone is also how you stop settling, because when you've built peace in solitude, you don't need company to escape yourself. You invite it to expand yourself. You no longer chase, you attract. You don't beg for attention, you recognize resonance. You no longer confuse chaos for passion or attachment for intimacy. You become selective, not out of pride, but out of wisdom. And the irony is beautiful. When you no longer need anyone, the people who enter your life do so by choice, not by filling a void. They come because they see your peace, not your desperation. And you can love freely because you're not afraid of losing. You've already proven to yourself that you can survive solitude. Epictetus taught that our attachments are the root of our suffering. When you free yourself from the illusion that someone else is the key to your happiness, you stop walking in chains. You realize that relationships, friendships, even family bonds are not cages, they're gardens. They flourish when both people are whole, not when one depends on the other to breathe. It takes time to reach that point. You'll resist it at first. You'll crave the old distractions, the comfort of being needed, the illusion of connection. But every time you choose to sit in solitude, instead of reaching out just to avoid silence, you grow stronger. Every quiet evening becomes a lesson in self-respect. Every moment of loneliness becomes an opportunity to meet yourself again, wiser, calmer, freer. And that's the secret. When you learn to be without anyone, you don't become cold, you become clear. You don't stop loving, you start loving better, because now you choose from fullness, not fear. So sit with yourself. Enjoy your own company. Learn to build a life so whole that anyone who joins it is a compliment, not a necessity. That's not loneliness, that's liberation. And maybe that's the hidden reward of solitude. When you no longer need to be chosen, you finally learn how to choose. 13. Peace comes when you need nothing. Peace doesn't come when life becomes easy. It comes when your mind does. You can have everything you thought you wanted, money, recognition, even love, and still feel restless, still feel like something is missing. That's because peace isn't about possession. It's about perception. The Stoics understood this better than anyone. They believed that peace is not given to you by the world. It's something you create when you stop being enslaved by your desires. Epictetus wrote, "Freedom is the only worthy goal in life. It is won by disregarding things that lie beyond our control." Most people spend their lives in quiet agitation, chasing something just out of reach. A better job, a more perfect partner, a clearer plan. They live in a loop of, "When I get this, then I'll be happy." But every time they arrive, the finish line moves. The craving begins again, disguised as ambition. And without realizing it, they trade their peace for progress that never feels enough. Peace begins the moment you stop believing that happiness lives somewhere else. It begins when you say, "What I have is enough. What I lack, I can survive without." That doesn't mean you stop growing. It means you stop being ruled by the need to have more. You stop letting the world pull your emotions like a puppet string. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself daily, "Very little is needed to make a happy life. It is all within yourself, in your way of thinking. Peace is not something you find. It's something you allow. It's what happens when your mind stops demanding that life be different. When you stop fighting what is and start trusting what unfolds. Look around you. Most of the suffering in the world comes not from what people lack, but from what they believe they deserve. The endless comparisons, the scrolling through others' highlight reels, the quiet resentment toward people who seem to have more. The truth is, peace will never live in that mindset. The more you need, the further peace runs. But when you start to let go, truly let go, something shifts. You begin to see beauty in simplicity, strength in stillness, joy in ordinary moments. You start to measure wealth not in possessions, but in perspective. You feel grateful instead of greedy. You begin to realize that needing nothing doesn't mean having nothing. It means being free from the illusion that you need more to be complete. Seneca wrote, "It is not the man who has too little, but the man who craves more, that is poor." The richest people are not those who own the most. They are the ones who desire the least. They walk through life lightly, unattached, unafraid to lose what was never theirs to keep. When you reach that state, everything changes. You still enjoy things, love, success, beauty, but they no longer control you. You can let people go without bitterness. You can watch plans fall apart without panic. You can fail without losing faith. Because your peace no longer depends on outcomes. It depends on presence. Peace is the natural state of a mind that has stopped bargaining with life. It's not numbness. It's clarity. It's the ability to sit in the middle of uncertainty and say, "I am okay." It's walking through chaos with still eyes and a steady heart. This kind of peace can't be bought or borrowed. It's not given by religion, fame, or fortune. It's cultivated, slowly, deliberately, by surrendering the illusion of control, by trusting that you can handle whatever comes, because you've already learned to handle yourself. And when you reach that place, something miraculous happens. The world doesn't need to change for you to feel good. People don't need to behave a certain way. The weather, the money, the timing, none of it holds you hostage anymore. You stop negotiating with life and start flowing with it. That's when you understand the ultimate stoic truth. Peace isn't about having everything go your way. It's about realizing you don't need it to. So breathe. Release your grip. Let go of the endless wanting. The moment you stop needing everything, life gives you what you were searching for all along. Peace. Because in the end, peace isn't a destination. It's the quiet home you return to once you stop chasing everything outside of yourself. If you've made it this far, you already know. Walking alone isn't about isolation. It's about awakening. It's about stripping away everything false, everything borrowed, everything that kept you from seeing who you've been all along. Life, in its quiet wisdom, will take things from you, people, comfort, illusions, not to break you, but to bring you back to yourself. You've learned that silence is not emptiness, but the beginning of clarity, that no one is coming to save you, and that's not tragedy. It's liberation. You've learned that falling is not failure, but refinement. That solitude is training, not punishment. You've learned that your battle is yours alone, that recognition fades, that strength comes from within. You've learned how to close cycles without bitterness, how to walk slower but cleaner, how to choose better when you no longer need anyone to complete you. And now, at the end of this journey, you understand the final truth. Peace comes when you need nothing, when you stop chasing what was never yours to hold, when you stop begging life to make sense, When you stand quietly in your own presence and realize you are enough. The Stoics never promised an easy life. They promised a meaningful one. They taught that freedom begins the moment you master yourself, your thoughts, your emotions, your expectations. The moment you stop blaming others for your unhappiness and begin cultivating strength from the inside out. That's what walking alone really means. It's not retreating from the world, it's returning to your essence. Because when you walk alone, you meet the only companion who will never leave you, your own soul. And once you learn to listen to it, once you learn to trust it, you stop fearing solitude, you start craving silence, clarity, stillness. You start realizing that the path isn't lonely, it's sacred. Every step is a conversation between you and life. Every obstacle is a lesson. Every fall is a teacher. Marcus Aurelius once said, "Nowhere you can go is more peaceful, more free of interruptions than your own soul." That's where this path leads, inward, toward that inner place where peace doesn't depend on anyone or anything. So, walk alone, rise alone, win alone. Not because you have to, but because you can. Because once you master solitude, you master life. And in that stillness, you'll find everything you've been searching for. Strength, clarity, and peace that no one can take away. And maybe that's all life has ever been asking of you. To stop running from yourself long enough to finally come home.